2012 is drawing to a close, and it's traditionally the time to take stock and look back at the past 12 months to revisit some of the main events and highlights of this year for Pope Benedict and the Vatican. John Allen is senior correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter in the US and is one of the world's best-known commentators on Vatican and church affairs. Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges asked him for his take on how 2012 has been for the Pope.
Well, I suppose being Pope means you never have a dull year, and certainly 2012 was proof of that. You had, on the one hand, a number of sort of internal bits of ferment, the Pope fires the Pope had to put out throughout the year, the VatiLeaks scandal, the arrest of his own butler, a crackdown on nuns in the United States, and at the same time, there were moments of real accomplishment, an extraordinarily successful trip to Lebanon, a major gathering of the Senate of Bishops to try to light the church. Church's missionary fires through the new evangelization, culminating, of course, with Benedict XVI becoming in some ways the king of all media with his Twitter debut. So once again in 2012, a mix of lights and shadows, of peaks and valleys.
You mentioned his foreign trip to Lebanon, and the only other one he made last year was to Cuba, Mexico. So definitely a reduction in the number of foreign trips compared to some of his previous years. Presumably this is due to his increasing age. But how successful would you say that both these were put together?
Well, both of these trips, that is the Mexico-Cuba trip and the Lebanon trip, were in a sense symbolically chosen trips, intended to deliver a message not merely to those specific countries, but to the whole regions of the world that they represented. Cuba, of course, a country struggling to come out of its communist isolation and sort of rebuild, retake its place as a partner in the 21st century. And Lebanon, of course, chosen not merely because Lebanon is the home to the largest Christian community in the Middle East, but also because all across the Middle East, Christians these days are imperiled, and this was an effort by Benedict XVI to express solidarity and support. I would say both of these trips going in were seen to be very challenging outings for the octogenarian Pope, and I think in both cases, on the other side of the trip, the consensus was that they went remarkably well.
As you said, 2012 saw the launch of the Year of the Faith and a Synod of Bishops for New Evangelization. Do you feel they are major events that will help to reinvigorate the church?
Well, I think, at least in terms of diagnosis, the Pope and the bishop have their fingers on the right question to be asking. The right question to be asking is, why is it the case that often in comparison with other religious bodies, and in particular with other branches of Christianity, that the Catholic Church sometimes struggles to evangelize? All the data tells us that the Catholic Church actually does a comparatively very good job in terms of retention, that is, holding on to its people from childhood to adulthood. Where the Catholic Church often is outperformed by some of its competitors is in recruitment, that is, in missionary drive. And so by sort of calling for this new evangelization, this idea of relighting the missionary fires of the church, reaching out in particular to people who perhaps were baptized in the faith but no longer practicing, that certainly is the right project. That certainly would look like the right aim. How much success it's going to have, of course, remains to be seen.
On the technological side, one of the most widely covered events was when Pope Benedict launched his own Twitter account. What does this say, in your view, about the Pope, the Vatican, and its policy towards the new social media and new communications technology in general?
Well, I think quite clearly what the Pope and the Vatican are trying to say is that they want to take the highways and byways of the postmodern world to try to evangelize. That is, they want to try to use all the tools in the evangelical toolbox. And obviously, the Pope going on Twitter is not merely about him personally trying to find another avenue to get his message out, but he's also, I think, trying to set an example for Catholic evangelists and apologists and preachers, all over the world, encouraging them, too, to make use of these new tools of communications technology. I think the effort is undoubtedly on the money. The Church clearly has been in a period of being, to some extent, sort of focused on its own internal business and sort of taken its eyes off the prize to a degree of the evangelizing enterprise. Now, how successful Benedict is going to be in stimulating a new springtime of evangelization remains to be seen, but that clearly would be the effort here.
One of the downside aspects of this year was the VatiLeaks scandal with the arrest and trial of the Pope's former butler for stealing and leaking the Pope's confidential documents. How damaging was this affair in your view, and can it now be put behind us?
I doubt VatiLeaks can be put behind us in the sense that people are going to forget that it happened. I mean, I would suspect that you're going to see screenplays and documentaries and journalistic productions and so forth. And I would also suspect that Paolo Gabrielli, the now pardoned papal butler, is going to be a much sought-after interview subject and so on for some time to come. But I do think that one of the storylines that will emerge with greater clarity is that scandal tends to breed reform, and I think we see some evidence of that in the midst of the VatiLeaks mess as well. Let's not forget that perhaps the most damaging revelations to emerge had to do with Vatican finances. And at the same time, in 2012, we saw Benedict XVI moving the ball in important ways towards greater financial transparency and accountability, in particular inside the Vatican itself. We saw, for example, the Vatican for the first time open itself up to secular European scrutiny of its anti-money laundering protocols as part of the money vault process. We also saw Benedict XVI strengthen the new financial information authority in the Vatican, bringing in a very respected secular professional, René Brühlhart from Liechtenstein, to try to head up the financial watchdog agency. And so I do think we see some evidence that as painful and embarrassing as VatiLeaks was throughout the year of 2012, it also created and added to the momentum for a kind of financial glasnost within the Holy See that Benedict XVI has been trying to engineer.
Another major event this year was the publication of Pope Benedict's third book in his Jesus of Nazareth series, a noteworthy accomplishment considering, you know, how busy he is and considering his advanced age. Do you think this book will, and the whole series will, continue to make ripples throughout the world?
Well, I think quite clearly, although Benedict XVI, like any pope, has multiple responsibilities, his real passion is in the teaching dimension of his office. I think in the long run of history, he's going to be remembered as a great teaching pope. And when that story is written, certainly the three volumes that he's given the world on the life of Christ, most recently this year, the short volume on the infancy narrative, will sort of loom large in perceptions of what Benedict XVI was trying to accomplish. I mean, in effect, I think what he's been trying to do is sort of reintroduce the core principles of Christianity to a sort of jaded secular world, convincing people to take a new look, not so much in terms of what Christianity is against, but what it's for. And in this device, trying to lift up and dust off the Jesus stories and get people to take a new look at them, I think is the leading edge of that effort, which is probably the most distinctive element of Benedict's papacy. And we saw it once again in action in 2012.
Okay, let's turn now to the coming year, 2013. What do you see as the highlights and the challenges of this coming year for both the Pope and the Vatican?
Well, it seems that one issue that is coming, that came into crystal clarity during 2012 and will continue to be extraordinarily important for the Church in 2013, is the defense of religious freedom internationally. I think that has quite clearly become the premier social and political concern of the Catholic Church. This is in part because of some church-state wrangles in the West, such as the debate in the States over insurance mandates and so on, but even more so, it's because of the harrowing challenges facing Christianity in a growing number of global hotspots, the Mideast in particular. I think there's great fear in the Holy See that Syria, for example, could be the next Iraq, that is, the next Middle Eastern society in which a once flourishing Christian community is devastated. And I think there is real fear about the future of Christianity across the Middle East, but in many other places as well. In Africa and in some parts of Asia, there's a rising tide of threats threats of physical violence and persecution and harassment directed at religious minorities generally and Christians in particular. And I think throughout 2013, the Holy See and Benedict XVI are going to try to mobilize the resources of the Church to come to the defense of beleaguered Christians around the world. The success they have in pulling that off, I think, is going to form a great deal of the drama, the Catholic drama of 2013.